नमोम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नाम्नि। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। कृष्णा, सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडेज सेशन। We have been discussing from the fourth chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. The chapter is titled as Transcendental Knowledge or Jnana Vibhaga Yoga. So I will do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. So in the previous chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the third chapter, Krishna had spoken about Nishkama Karma Yoga in detail. And now, starting with in the beginning of this chapter, he tells that how this knowledge is eternal knowledge, and periodically Krishna keeps giving it to various personalities. Imam vivasvate yogam praktavan aham avyayam vivasvan manave praha manur ikshvakave bravri. So he says that how this indestructible knowledge about Nishkama Karma Yoga was instructed by me to Vivasvan. Vivasvan spoke it to Manu, Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu sakale neha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. In this way, this knowledge was understood in the Guru Shishya parampara and spread by these great kings. Okay. But by the powerful influence of time, this descent succession was broken. And then Krishna says, Taevayam mayatedya yoga prokta puratanaha bhaktosime sakacheti rahasyam hyetaduttamam. Because you are my devotee, O Arjuna, and my friend, therefore I am speaking this knowledge to you. I am using you as another qualified disseminator of this knowledge. Yeah. And at this point of time, Arjuna, impelled by the Yoga Maya potency, gets this question, which is, so this question Arjuna gets so that Krishna gets a prompting to speak about his own glorious nature of his birth and activities. Otherwise, without prompting to blow one's own bugle, or you know, to speak about one's own glories, no gentleman would like to do it. You know, it's quite embarrassing. So Arjuna prompts Krishna by asking this question. Aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvatah katam etad vijaniyam tvam adau proktavaniti. Oh, Krishna, I understand that you appeared before, well, Vivasvan appeared much before you and me. So how am I to understand that you spoke this knowledge to Vivasvan in the beginning? Of course, Krishna spoke this knowledge to Vivasvan in some other incarnation. But because Krishna is the Amshi, he is the... He is the source of all of his incarnations. It is not inappropriate for Krishna to say that I spoke this knowledge to Vivasvan. Anyways, so Arjuna asks this question, Krishna answers, Bahuni me vititani janmani tavacha Arjuna, tanyaham veda sarvani natvam vitta parantapa. So he says, my dear Arjuna, you and I have spent many, many births together. I know about all these births, but you don't know about any. So, which means Krishna is talking about his various incarnations. And in all his incarnations, Arjuna also accompanies as his eternal associate in some other form, in one of his expansion forms. Krishna remembers everything because Krishna is omniscient. Arjuna, also being a Nitya Siddha, is capable of remembering. But right now, Yogamaya has covered it for the purpose of the pastime of dissemination of Bhagavad Gita. So then Krishna starts speaking about his Janma Rahasya. Ajopisan avyayatma bhutanam ishwaropisan prakritim swamadishtaya sambhavami atmamayaya. So he talks about the very unique nature of his birth. Krishna is unborn and he takes birth also. And both of them belong to his Swarupa. But for the Jiva's not taking birth is on the platform of his Swarupa, whereas his taking birth is not on the platform of his Swarupa. But for Krishna, both, you know, even when Krishna takes birth, it is not impelled by the material energy. He appears in a body which is non-different from his self. So Krishna chooses to appear, whereas the Jiva is forced to appear. And when Krishna appears, he appears impelled by his internal potency, or not impelled, assisted by his internal energy. Whereas when the living entity appears, he appears being forced by the external energy. In this way, he talks about the nature of birth of Krishna as being significantly different from the nature of birth of the Jiva. Then Krishna says, when does he appear? Yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata atanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever there is a destruction of dharma, or there is an or when there is a rise in adharma, Krishna says, I manifest myself. As we saw last time, the word srijami, even though may literally mean to create, but if you translate srijami to mean create, then the body of Krishna would become material. Then there would be no meaning to Krishna telling that in his avyayatma, I have a body which is indestructible. So which means it's transcendental and spiritual body. So if it is transcendental and spiritual, then it is not created. So therefore the word srijami should be taken to mean manifested rather than created, right? Then he says, what are the three purposes of Krishna's descent? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So he says that in every age, I appear for three purposes. Paritranaya sadhunam, in order to deliver the devotees, vinashaya cha dushkritam, to protect to destroy the demons, and dharma samsthapanarthaya, for the purpose of establishing religion. So one may say that why does Krishna have to personally appear to accomplish these things? He could as well send his devotees or his Rajarishis. They could accomplish it. So Krishna says, no. I come to deliver the devotees from the pangs of separation that they feel from me. So if they have to be delivered from the pangs of separation that they feel from Krishna, then Krishna only has to descend. And also there are some kinds of demons like Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, who cannot be killed by any human being or any living entity of this material world. Krishna has to personally descend to kill those powerful demons. So for that purpose also Krishna descends. And also the dharma that Krishna personally descends to establish is the dharma of bhakti. So for that Krishna personally descends. Okay. So then in this way Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam evo vetti tattvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna. In this way, O Arjuna, if one understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities, in truth, tattvataha, such a person, upon giving up his body, he does not have to take birth again. Rather, he attains me. But someone may say, wow, this seems very easy. चलो आई एक्सेप्ट दैट कृष्णास बर्थ एंड एक्टिविटीज आर ट्रांसेंडेंटल, सो एम आई गारंटीड लिबरेशन? कृष्णा सेज यस. ओ, विच मीन्स ऑल दैट आई नीड टू डू इज आई डोंट इवन हैव टू टेक दीक्षा, आई डोंट इवन हैव टू टेक आई डोंट इवन हैव टू चैंट द मंत्रास, आई डोंट हैव टू डू एनी स्पिरिचुअल प्रैक्टिसेस. All that I need to do is to accept Krishna's birth and activities to be transcendental. Look, that's all right. Krishna says, fine, yes. But then Krishna says, but let me tell you something. What does it mean to understand Krishna's birth and activities to be transcendental in truth? So he says that has to some symptoms. One who has accepted Krishna's birth and activities, internalized that how Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental, he shows certain symptoms. What are his symptoms? Vitaraga. Such a person has given up all kinds of attachments to any kind of false ideologies and false understandings, which are contrary to pure devotional conclusions. Vita Bhaya. When someone else speaks this kind of philosophy, he is not fearful because he is very much ground in the proper understanding of the Shastras. Vita Krodha. He does not become angry when someone tries to propagate these false ideologies. Why? Because Manmaya. Because the person is completely absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna. And on top of that, such a person who in truth has understood and accepted Krishna's birth and activities to be transcendental will certainly take full shelter of Krishna. Mam Upashritaha. Mam Upashritaha means he takes full shelter of Krishna through the path of pure devotional service. And then Krishna says, Bahavo, many, many persons in the past, Jnana tapasa puta, purified by the austerity of knowledge. Madbhava magata, they have attained love for me. So, Arjuna, I am not telling you something very new. I am telling you something which is, which many people have attained this perfection. But they have scrutinizingly rejected the unfavorable philosophy or incomplete, incorrect, faulty philosophies, and they have very carefully accepted only the pure philosophy, and that is very austere. So those who have been purified by that austerity of knowledge, they have actually Bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magata. They have attained love for me. So one who accepts Krishna's birth and activities to be transcendental in truth will certainly develop love for Krishna. So if one has not developed love for Krishna, if one has not taken full shelter of Krishna, if one is not absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna, if one is attached to all the false ideologies, and if one is fearful, or if one is fearful about when others speak these false ideologies or become angry towards them, then such a person, these are all the symptoms of a person who has not developed, who has not understood the birth and activities of Krishna to be transcendental. Because if he had accepted it, he would display these qualities. Okay, so then Krishna, then someone may say, look, Krishna, if someone accepts your birth and activities to be transcendental and worships you, you will give them prema. What if there are many other categories of people who may accept your birth and activities to be transcendental but not practice pure devotional service? तो उसमें एक्सेप्ट योर बर्थ एंड एक्टिविटीज नॉट टू बी ट्रांसेंडेंटल बट मे प्रैक्टिस डिवोशनल सर्विस. दोस्तों में एक्सेप्ट योर बर्थन एक्टिविटीज टू बी ट्रांसेंडेंटल टू बी नॉट ट्रांसेंडेंटल एंड नॉट प्रैक्टिस प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस. देयर आर मल्टीपल कैटेगरीज ऑफ पीपल. हाउ डू यू रेसिप्रोकेट विद देम और डू यू एट ऑल रेसिप्रोकेट विद देम? कृष्णा सेज लुक वेरी सिंपल. इफ यू एक्सेप्ट माय बर्थ टू बी ट्रांसेंडेंटल, माय एक्टिविटीज टू बी ट्रांसेंडेंटल, माय फॉर्म टू बी ट्रांसेंडेंटल एंड इफ यू प्रैक्टिस प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस आई विल गिव यू प्रेमा. But if you reject my form, reject my name, considering all of that to be maya or illusion, then whatever practice you do and offer a prayer to achieve a particular goal, you will not get it. Why? Because how can a person who has an illusory form, illusory potency, give you anything which is substantial? So he says, no, I will not reciprocate with such people. But if someone accepts my form, activities, etc. to be transcendental and worships me not to establish a relationship with me, but to get something of this world, I give it to them. And if they worship me to get something transcendental like liberation, I give it to them. This is what Krishna says. In this way, I reciprocate with them accordingly. Ye yatamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyahi. And then he says that kaṅkṣataḥ karmaṇām siddhim yajanta iha devatāḥ kṣipraṁ hi manuṣe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. So then he says, if one accepts the path of karma, then one may get the results very fast. Generally, people who want quick results of quick material results, they perform the path of karma, and generally they have a tendency to worship the devatas to attain it. Whereas those who want transcendental results, it takes time. So the results of pravritti marga are fast, whereas the results of nivritti marga is very slow. But it is eternal. But then someone may say that why are you very partial, O Krishna? Because you allow, you give only temporary results for the path of karma, but you give eternal transcendental results for the path of jnana. Why you are acting like this? So he says, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam. He says that, look, I am not partial. I am not specifically putting giving some people material results and specifically giving some people transcendental results. I am not, Krishna says that I am not partial. I have created this Varnashrama system by following which one can get their material results fulfilled and at the same time one can elevate themselves to a stage where they can get transcendental results also. So that way I have created the system. Those who follow it properly and move forward, they come to the stage of developing, of attaining transcendental results. But if they do not follow it, then they will follow it properly, then they will get only material results. So I am neutral. I am not, I give them what they want. If someone wants material results, I give them. I have created a system for it. Then Krishna says that Namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spriha itima abhijanati karma bir nasabadyate. So Krishna says that, you know, whenever I perform any action, I do not get any reaction for it. Why? Because name karma phale spriha, because I don't desire the fruits of my work. I don't desire to enjoy the material fruits of my work. So therefore, I don't get any results. Iti mamyo abhijanati karmabirna sabadyate. One who understands this truth about me, he will also not be bound by actions. So here, there are two understandings of this. One who understands that Krishna is not an ordinary person, even though he looks like an ordinary person, he performs whatever activities he performs, even though it may look like material activities, those activities will not generate any result because he is not attached to the fruits of those activities. So one who understands this will not take birth again, meaning one who understands this technique of performing actions while not being attached to the material fruits of their activities will not get bound to this material world. This is one understanding. Another understanding is one who understands that Krishna is not an ordinary person who will get attached to the material results of his activities. One who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna, certainly because of understanding Krishna's Bhartana activities to be transcendental, he will not take birth again. This is another understanding. Then, evam jatva kritam karma purvair api mumukshubihi kuru karmai vatasmatkam purvair purvataram kritam. So therefore, those desiring liberation, purvair api, even in ancient times, kritam karma, they have performed karma. Evam jatva, while understanding this, you know, while understanding the nature of detached work, how detached work leads to liberation by purifying the heart. So, even in ancient times, all your ancestors of Arjuna performed their duties in a detached way. They performed Nishkama Karma Yoga, and in this way they attained liberation. Therefore, you learn from them and perform Nishkama Karma Yoga in the same way. Kuru karmaiva tasmatvam purvair purvataram kritam, as Krishna says. Then he says, kim karma kim akarmeti kavayopyatra mohita tatte karma pravakshyami yad yatva mokshase ashubhat. So he says that action, karma, akarma and vikarma are very difficult to understand. Even very wise people bewildered by the understanding what is karma, what is akarma and what is vikarma. Okay. So he says that therefore I will speak to you about all these three things, and if you understand this very clearly, then you will be freed from any kind of inauspiciousness because you will perform only auspicious activities. So here, he says, karmano hi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha, akarmanas cha bodhavyam gahana karmano gati. So one should clearly understand about karma, vikarma and akarma. And the truth about this is very difficult to understand. Okay. So what is akarma? Akarma means how akarma means how a sannyasi does not perform any of his varna dharma, but certainly it leads to auspiciousness. That is akarma. So one should understand the nature of akarma. Okay. And karma means how action leads to result, or how action, pious action leads to piety, when one understands about that, and how by practice of sannyasa, a bona fide sannyasi avoids getting any reaction. Okay. And vikarma means forbidden action. Okay. How forbidden action leads to misery. So, karmano hi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha, akarmanas cha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi. Okay. So, one should understand very clearly, because this karma, akarma, vikarma, this changes from person to person. You know, what is A recommended action for a particular person may be a forbidden action for the other person. So these things and all keep changing based upon one's adhikar or qualification. Then he says, karmani akarma yaha pashyed akarmani cha karma yaha sa buddhiman manushyeshu sayuktaha krishna karma krita. He says, karmani akarma yaha pashyed. Okay, he says, he who sees inaction in action. So, when he says, he sees that someone is performing lot of actions, but he will not get any reaction. Why he will not get any reaction? Because he is performing those activities with detachment from enjoying the material fruits of that action. Therefore, even though action is performed, no reaction is generated. This is learning to see inaction in action. Action is performed, but it is not leading to any reaction. So, here, akarma should be understood to be no reaction rather than inaction. Okay. And akarmani cha karmayaha. And one who sees action in inaction. This means when an unqualified sannyasi, when one who has taken up to sannyas, having given up all his varna dharma, occupational duties, but he has prematurely taken up to sannyas, his heart is not yet purified. So, even though he may not be performing activity, but he will be generating lot of papa karma by that. That is the meaning of akarmani cha karma yaha. So even though he is not performing any varna dharma, duties of his varna, but still he will generate reactions. So one who understands this science very clearly, how a qualified grihastha, a detached grihastha, even though performing all activities, will not generate any reaction. But an unqualified sannyasi, even though not performing any action, will generate all kinds of unfavorable reaction. He is intelligent amongst men. Saha manushyeshu buddhiman. Saha yuktaha krishna karma krita. He performs all kinds of actions. Right? So then he explains what is the explanation of seeing inaction in action. Okay, which means how by performing Nishkama Karma Yoga one does not get any reaction. So he says, Yasya sarve samarambaha kama sankalpa varjitaha jnanagni dagda karmanam tam ahuhu panditam buddhaha. So he says, the wise say that tam panditam, that person is learned, yasya sarve samarambaha, who even though engaging in all activities, he is performing all his varna dharma, he is performing his prescribed occupational duties, but kama sankalpa varjitaha, he is void of the desire to enjoy the fruits. Enjoy the material fruits. Okay. So, such a person, jnanagni dagda karmanam. So, such a person has certainly burnt up all actions. All actions means all reaction. He does not get any reaction by the fire of knowledge. Okay. By the fire of knowledge, he does not get any reaction. Okay. And then in the next verse he says, Tyaktva karma falasangam nitya tripto nirashrayah karmani abhipravrittopi naivakinchit karoti saha. Karmani abhipravrittopi, even though he may be engaging in all kinds of activities, Tyaktva karma fala asangam, because he has given up attachment for enjoying the results, material results of his actions. Nitya Tripto, because he is always satisfied. Nirashraya, because he is not dependent on others. Naiva Kinchit Karoti Saha, such a person does not get any reaction for his action. He does not generate any reaction for his action. Nirashir Yata Chittatma Tyakta Sarva Parigraha Shariram Kevalam Karma Kurvan Napnoti Kilbisham. Tyakta Sarva Parigraha, having given up all sense of taking from others. Nirashihi, being without any desire. Yata Chittatma, who has perfectly controlled his mind and body. Kurvan Karma, even though he may be performing all kinds of activities. Shariram Kevalam, just to support his body. Na Apnoti Kilbisham. Okay. Because he is performing all activities just to maintain his body so that he can perform, he can continue performing his sadhana. Such a person, even though he may be performing activities, maintenance of his body and performing the activities of his karma, he does not attain any reaction. Okay. Then he says, Yadirchalaba santushto dvandvatito vimatsaraha samasiddhava siddhaucha kritvapina nibadyate. Yadirchalaba santushto, one who is completely satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord. Dvandva atito, who has overcome the dualities. Vimatsaraha, who is free of envy. Samasiddhava siddhaucha, and one who is completely equipoised in success and failure. Kritvapina nibadyate, even though he may be engaging in his varana dharma, in his occupational duties, he will not incur any reaction. He will not incur any karma. So, So he is yadricha labha santushto. He is satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord because he is just doing things to maintain his body, so that he can perform his sadhana. That's all. So these are the symptoms of a perfect Nishkama Karma Yogi. So what is the meaning of detachment that is being described here? Gata Sangasya Muktasya Jnanavastita Chetasaha Yajnaya Acharata Karma Samagram Praviliyate. For that person who is a Mukta, who is Mukta means Fala Asakti Mukta. For that person who is devoid of the desire for results, Gata Sangasya, who is free from attachment to things of this world, Jnana Avastita Chetasaha, one whose mind is completely absorbed in knowledge, Yajnaya Acharata Karma, and who is performing his Varana Dharma or his occupational duties purely for the pleasure of Yajna, for the purpose of Yajna means here for the purpose of the Supreme Lord. Samagram Praviliyate, he does not occupy any karmic reactions. Right? This is the summary of this practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. And then finally, he says, how is it that Nishkama Karma Yoga leads to liberation? So he says, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagnav Brahmanahutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. He says that because the person who is performing his karma, he has Brahma Karma Samadhina. He is performing the actions to attain Brahman, to attain liberation. Okay. While meditating on meditating on Brahman, when he performs this action, Brahma Karma Samadhina, then what happens? Brahmarpanam, when he is performing his sacrifices, the oblation that he offers, like ghee that he might offer in a sacrifice, that becomes Brahman, that takes the nature of Brahman, which means that will not bind him to the material world. Okay, any material object will bind one, but when the person is using that object, just like we say, right, Prabhupada says, when the microphone is utilized in the service of Krishna, then that microphone will not bind you to this material world. It will help you deliver from, it will deliver you from the material world, because that microphone is no longer matter. It is spirit. That is Krishna Karma Samadhina. This is for devotees, right? That is for devotees. It is called as Yukta Vairagya. For Nishkama Karma Yogis, it is called as Brahma Karma Samadhina. Performing actions by being absorbed in the actions of Brahman, that is called as Brahma Karma Samadhina. Okay. So the oblations consisting of Brahman. So in that sense, for example, if you take a sacrifice which consists of a fire sacrifice, so in that sense, the ghee which is offered in the fire, that becomes Brahman. Like we say, that becomes spiritual. The spoon that is used to pour the ghee in the fire, that becomes spiritual. The fire into which the ghee is poured, that becomes spiritual. The person who offers the ghee into the fire, he is spiritual. And that person attains Brahman eventually, because all the actions were performed for the purpose of yajna. Yajyartat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandana tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sanga samacharam. In 3.9, Krishna told that how when one performs this yajyartat karma, action which is performed for the purpose of the pleasure of Krishna, with a desire to attain liberation. So yajyartat karma means Brahma Karma Samadhina. So with that mood, when one performs activity or varnashram duties, then lokoyam karma bandana. So there is no karma bandhan for such a person. So that is described here in detail. So now this is where we ended our discussion last week. Last week we could not have, the week before that. Before we continue this discussion forward, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add, we can take before we continue this discussion forward. There are two hands up. Sachipranru.
Yes, Praji, can you show the previous verse?
Yeah.
Yeah, this verse actually Brahmarpanam. So here the person Brahman attains Brahman. So I was reciting this verse for 6 months when I was in Ramakrishna Mission. And they use this verse perfectly for their philosophy. I was not aware about that time. I was not in ISKCON. So here the person Brahman attains Brahman means they ISKCON Namonarayan. So they think that it's achieving like they become Narayana by, you know, doing the service. Is it they use this verse very perfectly for their philosophical, you know, justification?
Yeah. One can use it like that. Oh, that is the way in which the scriptures are made. Because one of the purposes of the scriptures is to bewilder the atheistic people, or bewilder the materially absorbed people, so they can get their own understanding from this. That is the purpose. But the real understanding is the person Brahma attains Brahman means the person is considered to be Brahman because he is performing the actions for the purpose of attaining liberation. Therefore, in that sense, he is Brahman. So he attains Brahman means he does not become identical with Brahman. He actually merges in that Brahman and attains qualitative oneness while retaining his individuality. Because if you take this verse should be understood in conjunction with what Krishna told before. Natvevaham jatunasham natvam neme janadipa nachaivana bhavishyamaha sarve vayamataparam and other such verses. Where Krishna clearly says there was never a time when I did not exist, you did not exist, and there shall never be a time when either of us will cease to exist. Which means the eternal individuality of the soul, individual soul and Krishna has been established by Krishna. So the soul can never completely become one with the Supreme Lord. So his merging in the Brahma Jyoti just indicates that Jiva removing all kinds of material coverings and in an uncovered state, realizing his qualitative oneness with Krishna. It is not even attaining qualitative oneness. It is realizing his qualitative oneness while maintaining his individuality. So therefore, this verse when independently taken, one may interpret it that way. But this verse should, then you should also have the verse 2.12. Natvevaham jatunasham natvam neme janadipa. So yes, what to speak of this verse, the followers of Shankaracharya or the Mayavadis can misinterpret every single verse to support their own philosophy. And in fact, these scriptures are written in such a way that, they perform the role of Mohini Murthy also. So Mohini Murthy gives nectar to the devatas, whereas cheats the demons. So similarly, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, these kind of literatures, one of the roles that they play is to play the role of Mohini Murthy, where they give the nectar of the right meaning to the devotees and deceive the non-devotees by allowing them to accept an improper meaning, which will support their wrong philosophy like that. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Yeah, yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu.
All right. Shyamali Mataji?
Yeah, Prabhuji, I just... Hari Bol, you can hear me?
Ah, yes, I can hear you.
Yes, I...
I was just trying to understand, trying to remember the earlier points that you had said, that from Nishkama Karma Yogi, if an individual wants to get moksha, then he has to take Gyan, the path of Gyan Yoga, right? Or is it that a Nishkama Karma Yogi can continue doing his Nishkama Karma and, attain moksha? Like he can continue doing his varnashram dharmas, and is that the understanding?
Yeah. So, okay, that's a very valid question. So, I will just write it here. A Nishkama Karma Yogi, he has his heart is impure, even though his goal is liberation. But after practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga, his heart becomes pure. When his heart becomes pure, there are two options. When he is very unsure about the purification of heart, he can either continue to practice Nishkama Karma Yoga, but by the purification of heart, Jnana will manifest in his heart. Okay? Even though he may continue to practice his Varnashrama duties, but because his practice of Varnashrama duties is endowed with Jnana, so naturally, he will also be able to meditate on Brahman. Okay. So a part of the time, he will be meditating on Brahman, which will become easy for him. because of complete purification of heart. But when he is, if sometimes he may, if he may be sure that yes, I am very clear that my heart is purified, he may give up Varnashrama duties and purely practice, you know, just Jnana Yoga. So, but this neither, but both persons whose heart has become pure, he is not, he is Nishkama Karma Yogi only in his practice, but a Jnana Yogi in qualification. Okay. So such a person is a Jnana Yogi in qualification, but one, but he also, he looks like a Nishkama Karma Yogi in practice. But he will also attain liberation. So if a Nishkama Karma Yogi, by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, if his heart becomes pure, but still continues to perform his Varnashram duties along with meditation on Brahman, he can also achieve liberation. Or if a Nishkama Karma Yogi, when his heart becomes pure by practice of Varnashram duties, gives up his Varnashram Dharma and purely practices Jnana Yoga, he can attain liberation. Both can. That is the understanding. Is that reasonable, Madhuri?
Yes, Prabhuji. So it just means that even a even a bhakti yogi, even if we continue, like Varnashram duties are performed, but if we know that the goal is bhakti, mm-hmm. then that's okay, right?
There is you are trying to draw parallels in a devote, whatever explanation we saw, you are trying to draw a parallel for a devotee, right? So, well, in the, there is a slight difference here. For a Nishkama Karma Yogi, Nishkama Karma Yoga is a prerequisite for bhakti, for jnana. Whereas Nishkama Karma Yoga is not a prerequisite for bhakti. So if a Nishkama Karma Yogi purification of heart is not a prerequisite for jnana, whereas purification of heart is not a prerequisite for bhakti. So a person who is qualified for jnana but if he is unsure whether his heart is pure or not, he is dependent only on Nishkama Karma Yoga to attain purification. So he may perform Nishkama Karma Yoga even though he has become purified, right? But he is not, because he is not sure, he continues to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. Whereas for a devotee, even if his heart is impure, his purification of heart is not dependent on Nishkama Karma Yoga or Varnashrama, practice of Varnashrama. So his purification of heart is accomplished by bhakti only. So if a bhakti yogi is not pure, is not sure if his heart is pure or not, for that he need not continue to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. He can continue to perform bhakti, because for a bhakti yogi, purification comes by practice of bhakti yoga only and not by Nishkama Karma Yoga. So therefore, and the qualification of bhakti is only shraddha, faith. So if one has faith in devotional service, then one need not practice Varnashram duties for purification of heart, because that purification comes from practice of bhakti. But having said that, we don't have to reject anything and everything that falls within the category of Varnashram. If something is anukul for bhakti, we accept it. If something is pratikul for bhakti, we reject it. But the purpose is, whatever is favorable for bhakti, I will accept. With that mood, one accepts. Is that relevant, Madhuri?
Yeah, sorry, Prabhuji. We keep going back to... I just wanted to confirm the understanding. Just actually... So, Prabhuji, just one more confirmation. Mm-hmm. About the birth and activities of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
What was my question? Over there also, the general understanding that we have is that a Jnana Yogi or a Nishkama Karma Yogi, necessarily they do not need to, you know, understand the pastimes, and was it wrong? Like, I always thought that in their practice, but according to what you said, it looks as if unless and until even a Jnana Yogi does not understand the transcendental pastimes of, you know, the Janma and the Karma of lot to be transcendental, it's not possible for them to get moksha. Right? I always thought, right? Yeah, sorry.
Correct.
So, it was a wrong understanding that Jnana Yogis do not need to understand. I thought that Jnana Yogis and Nishkama Karma Yogis, they saw Krishna as just the pastimes and the activities were not given. They did not need to understand them as being transcendental.
No. They have to. They have to accept them as being transcendental, but it may not necessarily generate a desire to establish a relationship with Krishna. They have a business relationship with Krishna, but at least they should see Krishna as a transcendental personality who is capable of bestowing the transcendental goal of liberation to them. So they should see Krishna's form to be transcendental, his name to be transcendental, his abode to be transcendental, his activities to be transcendental, while not desiring a relationship with Krishna. They might want liberation, that is fine. But they cannot reject the form, name, qualities or activities of Krishna to be anything less than transcendental, or worse still, illusory. If they think it is illusory or material, then they will not get the result of even Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. So even proper Karma Yogis or Jnana Yogis have to accept the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities. Just that they may not have a desire to establish, they may not consider as their goal, to establish a relationship with Krishna in one of the five rasas. That may not be their desire, but they should at least see Krishna as capable of fulfilling their desires, and they can aspire for liberation or anything of that sort. Is that relevant, Madhuri?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Right. Anything else anyone would like to share, ask, add before we move ahead? Okay. If there is none, then we will continue our discussion. So now Krishna is going to describe that how many... So here he's going to talk about many kinds of yajna. So here the word, he's going to say yajna, yajna, yajna. Okay. So here the word yajna has to be translated as dharma with dharma or duty. Okay. So that is the meaning of yajna. So yajna, the way the word yajna is going to be used henceforward in the next few verses, yajna does not literally mean a fire sacrifice here. Okay. So yajna means dharma or duty. And he is going to talk about people with different kinds of duties, but with a common goal. Okay. So the common goal is liberation. Okay. So the common goal is liberation. Okay. To attain this goal of liberation, a Nishkama Karma Yogi may perform a particular kind of yajna. Okay. A Jnana Yogi may perform a particular kind of yajna. An Ashtanga Yogi may perform a particular kind of yajna. A Sakama Yogi may perform a particular kind of yajna. So yajna means duty here, dharma. Okay, dharma or duty. So how gradually, if all of this yajna eventually translate into knowledge, or performance of this dharma eventually translates into knowledge. So how performance of yajna translates into knowledge? That is what he is going to describe here. Okay. So the word yajna should be understood in that particular way. Let's see what Krishna has to say. Daivam eva pare yajnam yogina paryupasate brahmagnava pare yajnam yajnena ivopajuhvati. Apare, he says, others however, okay, others however, however he is using, because in the previous verse he said, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagnav Brahmanahutam Brahmaivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. He says, if someone is being absorbed in the actions of Brahman, then the oblations that he offers, the ladle that he uses to offer, the fire into which it is offered, the person who is offering, all attain the nature of Brahman, and such a person attains Brahman. Okay. On the contrary, there may be others, yoginaha, who are the karma yogis, daivam yajnam paryupasate. They may be engaged in the worship of devatas. Okay. And apare, and there may be others, upajuhvati, and they may be offering yajnam, the jiva, brahmagnav, in the fire of Brahman, by the means of yajna, by the means of chanting the mantra om. So here he talks about two types of practitioners: the karmakandis, okay, who may worship the devatas, and the jnana yogis, who offer the jiva into the fire of Brahman. Okay, so the offering is the jiva into the fire of Brahman, and the means of offering the jiva is by mantra, by chanting of the mantra om. Okay. By chanting of the mantra om, these jnana yogis offer the jiva as the oblation into the fire of Brahman, meaning the jiva actually merges into the Brahman at the time of liberation. That's what it means. So here Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur says, hear about the many other types of yajnas. The Lord explains this in 8 verses, starting with verse number 25. So 25 to 32, he is going to discuss these things. Daivam refers to that in which devatas like Indra and Varuna are worshipped. Thus, the phrase Daivam Yajnam means worship having Indra and the other devatas as subject. So, sample. Worship the devatas, okay, like that. This is derived from the rule Shasya Devata. So this is some Panini grammar rule which I don't understand. So how the word Daivam refers to Devata, it is described here. In this worship, it is indicated that there is a lack of consciousness of Brahman. That is why there is a contradiction. However, the word however is used here. Others, however, may not have some people, even though they may perform some yajna, but they will be invoking and offering to the demigods. So when they do that, they do not have this yajna karma samadhina. Sorry, brahma karma samadhina. They do not have the meditation on Brahman. So there is no brahma karma samadhina. So they worship the demigods. Okay. Like that. So the karma yogis worship the devatas. Others, the jnana yogis, offer the jiva, what is called as tvam, as the oblation into the fire of Brahman or Paramatma, what is called as tat, using the mantra pranava. So which means they meditate on the jiva while chanting om. They aspire to offer themselves into the fire of Brahman, which may want to merge themselves in the Brahma Jyoti. That is the goal, and attain that liberation, Sahijya Mukti. So this Jnana Yoga will be praised later. Shreyan Dravyamayo Yajna Jnana Yajna Prantapa, like that Krishna will say later. The words Yajna and Yajnana, used as object and instrument, refer to the pure Jiva and the Pranava through the use of the metaphor called Prathama Atishayokti. This is again a grammar thing which I don't understand. He is giving an explanation as why the word yajna and yajnena. Here yajna refers to the jiva and yajnena. Yajnena means through yajna. Huh? So yajna, yajnena upajuhvati. The yajna is offered by yajna. So by yajna here refers to om. Chanting of om. Okay. Pranava. Like that. So by chanting of pranava or om, which is one of their important practices, the jnana yogis try to merge themselves in the Brahma Jyoti and attain liberation. That is their goal. So basically Krishna is describing here various different types of yajnas. While in the first type of yajna, this is not a yajna. This first type, they won't attain any transcendental result because there is no Brahma Karma Samadhina. Whereas the other personalities whom he is, other yogis whom he is going to talk about, they do have Brahma Karma Samadhina. They are performing those activities with the goal of liberation. So therefore, even though the external form of their sacrifice may change, may differ, the sacrificial fire may be different. What is offered in the sacrificial fire may be different. The means of offering the oblations into the sacrificial fire may be different. But because there is Brahma Karma Samadhina, therefore, the attainment of liberation, all of them attain. Except for this person, because this person does not have Brahma Karma Samadhina, because he is worshipping the demigods. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay. If there is none, then we will continue our discussion. Okay. Next verse.
Shrotradinindriyanyanye samyamagnishu juhvati. Shabdadin Vishayananya Indriyagnishujukpati
Anye, the Naishtiki Brahmacharis. Okay, this is a contextual meaning. Anye means others. Okay, but based on the context, this is taken to be Naishtiki Brahmacharis. Okay, Shrotra Adini Indriyani. They offer the Indriyas. Indriyas means senses. Shrotra adini, like hearing, like the ear. They offer, the Naishtiki Brahmacharis offer their senses, samyama agnishu juhvati. So juhvati means they offer. So juhvati should come here. Okay. So they offer their senses into the controlled mind. So fire is the mind. And the oblation is the senses. So oblation is sacrifice. Okay. And the sacrifice is accepted by the mind. So mind here is controlled mind. So when we say the senses are sacrificed in the fire of the controlled mind, it means the sensory activities are subdued by the controlled mind. So a Naishthiki Brahmachari performs the yajna of sense control. That's what it means. So this thing mentioned in a very yajnic language. Okay. Shrotradin indriyanyanye samyama agnishu jukvati. So when translated literally, it means anye, other people who are Naishthiki Brahmacharis, they offer in oblation, they offer as oblations their senses like ears, nose, eyes, etc. Samyama agnishu, in the fire of controlled mind. Meaning, they sacrifice their sensory indulgence. They stop their sensory indulgence on the strength of their controlled mind. Like we see, Indriyani paranyahur, indriyebhya param manaha, manasastu paro buddhir, yo buddhe paratastu saha. So Krishna says that, the senses are more powerful than the sense objects. Mind is more powerful than the senses. Intelligence is more powerful than the mind. The soul is more powerful than the intelligence. So, in Naishthiki Brahmacharis, they practice sense control. So, this is what it means. So, in simple language, the dharma of Naishthiki Brahmacharis is sense control. This is what is mentioned here as others sacrifice in the fire of controlled mind the oblation of their senses. This complicated thing means that the Naishthiki Brahmacharis follow their dharma of sense control. That's all. Shabdadin Vishayan Anya Indriyagnishu Jukvati. Whereas other Brahmacharis, Anya, Shabdadin Vishayan Indriya Agnishu Jukvati. So these are the lower class brahmacharis who cannot control the senses so perfectly. Okay. So these Naishthika brahmacharis will win Naishthika brahmacharis. Whereas these brahmacharis, they are not unable to control their senses. They are not able to offer their senses in the fire of controlled mind. Therefore, they offer the sense objects in the fire of their senses. Which means, fire consumes, oblation is consumed. Okay. So, here, in the second case, fire is the senses and oblation is the sense object. So, which means the second class brahmacharis, they offer the sense objects into their senses, which means they engage in some kind of controlled sense gratification. They are not able to engage in strict sense control. So therefore, they are allowed some controlled sense gratification. That is what is the meaning of offering the sense objects in the fire of senses. Okay. Let's see what Sri Vishnu Acharya Thakur has to say here. He says, others, the Naishtiki Brahmacharis, offer the senses such as ear into the fire of the controlled mind. This means that the senses completely disappear in the pure mind, which means they do not indulge in sense gratificatory activities. Others, the less controlled Brahmacharis, offer the sense objects such as sound into the fire of the senses. The sense objects disappear in the senses, which means laddu disappears within the mouth. Okay. And some songs disappear within the ears. Fragrance disappears within the nose. Like that. So they are not able to control their senses. So some kind of regulated sense gratification is allowed for such, not so elevated brahmacharis. So, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add here? Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
I was just thinking.
Yes, sir.
Like Naishtik Brahmacharis, they offer the senses into the fire of the mind. Mm-hmm. And the other brahmacharis are offering. So basically, every yagya, there is mm-hmm. some offering and there is the fire.
Correct.
So we are also doing sankirtan yagya, no?
Yeah. Correct.
In sankirtan yagya also, there is something like this. The fire
In sankirtan yagya, the fire is the pleasure of Krishna, and the oblation is our mind, senses, everything we are trying to offer as oblation into the fire of satisfaction of Krishna, Krishna Preeti. So that is the fire. So, and that becomes the yagya of Yukta Vairagya. Whatever is there, utilize it for Krishna's pleasure. So that becomes Yukta Vairagya, like that. Is that relevant to?
I mean, what we normally understand as sankirtan is what doing bhajan or matlab usko hi sankirtan bolte na. But what you are saying is all the activities that a devotee does is part of sankirtan.
Yeah. I mean, that's the broader understanding of sankirtan. All of that is yagya actually. I mean, not only just sankirtan in the sense, not just harinam sankirtan. That is also one type of yagya. But all the other activities also, they are also yagya. You may choose to call them sankirtan or you may call them bhakti. The limbs of devotional service. So, all of that is actually, in one sense, like yagya only.
Okay. So, Harinam Sankirtan is not a separate, you don't in the Bhagavatam also, the description is that yagya sankirtana prayer. I mean, the word sankirtan means broadened bhakti itself. It is not just Harinam Sankirtan.
Actually, if you see what that verse says, yajnai sankirtana prayair, which means yajantihi sumedasaha. Intelligent people of this Kali Yuga perform various kinds of yajnas with the predominance of sankirtan. Rather than, it is not sankirtan yajna. What it says is yagyas with the predominance of sankirtan, which means in Kali Yuga, especially the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whatever other limbs of devotional service that they perform, there is a predomination of chanting of the holy names. That's what it means.
Achha.
Yeah, yeah. But the word Sankirtan Yajna is also used. So, it can sometimes refer to just chanting the holy name. And in a broader sense, it refers to any activity of devotional service.
Okay. Now, my primary question was, when we say Harinam Sankirtan, is there something like, this is the fire of the yajna and this is what we are offering?
Yeah. So
in Harinam Sankirtan, we all do japa, we all do, sometime or the other we are doing Harinam Sankirtan. So it is not that we are offering either maybe our words or I'm just trying to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So like you broadly said, bhakti means all that is that we are doing with our senses and our mind, all of that is the offering, and the fire is the pleasure of Krishna.
Correct.
So when we are doing Harinam Sankirtan, aisa kuch, there is nothing, no understanding like this, no. This is the fire and...
Our voice, if you take Harinam Sankirtan as chanting alone, then we are offering our voice, that is the oblation, into the fire of the pleasure of Krishna. So that is the fire.
Okay.
See, we are using our voice to glorify Krishna, chant his holy names for his pleasure. So our voice becomes the the oblation, and the pleasure of Krishna becomes the fire, and the means becomes bhakti. So there is a means also. Means is bhakti. The voice is the oblation, pleasure of Krishna is the fire. But if you take Sankirtan to mean the broader bhakti, then all the senses and mind become the oblations, bhakti becomes the means, and pleasure of Krishna becomes the fire, like that.
Okay. The other point I wanted to No, is why I asked this is because just like the Naishtiki Brahmachari is offering everything into the fire of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's control of mind, right?
Correct.
So when we say attentive chanting, mm-hmm. attentive chanting is not just voice, na. Attentive chanting means the mind is involved.
Correct. That is why I said it's a broader understanding.
Okay.
So, even in chanting, it's not just voice that is involved. It is the controlled mind also that is involved. So all of that, you know, it involves multiple faculties. Chanting involves the involves hearing also, because what you are chanting, you should hear also.
Correct.
So the faculty of hearing is involved, faculty of mind is involved, faculty of voice is involved. So, all of that is involved. So, in one sense, that is why I said offering the mind and senses as oblations in the fire of the pleasure of Krishna through the means of bhakti, like that.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Ariba.
Okay. Srinivas Prasad.
Hare Krishna, Dhanatana Prabhuji.
Dhanatana.
Probably like in Bhakti Yoga, we generally engage all our senses, like when we are chanting the holy name and when we are worshipping the deities, So we are engaging our hands, we are engaging our eyes, we are engaging our tongue, we are taking the fragrance of the offered incense, flowers, seeing the darshans. So like that, bhakti, in bhakti yoga, we all try to engage our senses in the service of the Lord. And in yoga practices, they try to control the mind through meditation.
Correct.
So this is what I feel. So I just wanted to share. Yeah, and there, like, if there's one verse, if you can, I don't know. We have heard that by chanting the holy name, millions lifetimes of your sinful acts get burned. Mm-hmm. So is there any verse related to that, or it is?
There are many verses, but I am just trying to understand what is the context in which you are asking this question.
Yeah, I just, because like Prabhuji was asking the question that there's some yagya, so like we have heard that matlab janmon ke jo hai hamare jo paap karma hai wo jal jate hain.
Correct. I agree, there are many verses like that. But there is a broader context in which this whole session is happening. But because you have missed the previous sessions.
Yes,
you
know, yes.
It's yeah. So yes, there are many such verses. But we are discussing, you know, a broader context of this. These are all connected to the Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir verse. So in context of that, Krishna is discussing this. So it's all connected in that way. Okay. So in that context, Shyamlal Prabhu asked this question.
Okay. Okay, Prabhu.
Okay. If there are no further questions, we will move ahead. Let me just check the time. Okay, we have 5 more minutes. We will see if we can. Okay. Yeah, I don't think we'll be able to complete this verse, and I have some quick work to do. So today we will end 5 minutes early. I apologize for this. But before you drop out, please do not drop out. Next week, again, this time, unfortunately, I will be traveling next Friday. I will be reaching Chennai a little late. I'll be in train. So next Friday, we will have to cancel. But I promise in the coming future, I am not foreseeing any long breaks. You know, I am not planning any travel. Next month also, I will be traveling during the weekends only, most likely. So next week also, I will have to cancel the Bhagavad Gita session. So I apologize for that beforehand. But after that, I will not cancel. You know, we will keep going on a more regular basis. So next week we will not have, but the week after that once we will try to be very regular. So just this Kartik time is a time when it becomes little bit topsy-turvy for a good reason. Of course, we all want to recharge our batteries powerfully in Kartik. So forgive me for the next week, but from the next week onwards, I will try to be very regular. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.